Yet, now hear, or now listen, O Jacob, my servant in Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. The God that's going to help you. The God who has made you, formed you from the womb. He has done that to all of us. Although, yes, he's writing to Israel, to Jacob. Yes, still you can see how we are partakers in the promises that he's made. And he says this, I am the one that formed you. And he says, I'm the one which will help you. If you're looking for help tonight, look to Jesus. Look to God. Don't look anywhere else, or as they say in advertisements, look no further. The answer that you are seeking is in God, in Jesus Christ. Nowhere else. It's not in the finances you're thinking about. It's not in that plan that you are making up. This is how I'm going to handle it. This is how we're going to... It is really in God. That's the only place it is. And so here we get to look, and he says, I'm the one which will help you. Man, I would underline that if I were you. Don't be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Remember Jesus said that I'm the living water. He said, come to me and drink. Remember Jesus said that? We see God saying, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. God promises to pour out his spirit. If you yourself have never asked the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, just to pour out your spirit upon me without measure, then tonight you ought to do that. God says, I will pour out my spirit upon your seed, my blessing upon your children. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. They'll grow strong. One shall say, I am the Lord's. Or in other words, I belong to God. You and I, as a Christian, if you're a Christian, you can say that. You may not feel like it. It may not really look like it to your friends around you who are the judges. But you yourself, if you're born again, you can say it. I am His. You know, we sang it earlier. Well, some of us did. I am my beloved's and he is mine. Are you born again? You belong to him. He purchased you with a price. He loves you. You don't need to make him look your way. He never takes his eyes off you. What's the old song say? His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches me. Because he said you're worth much more than a sparrow. And you can tell the Greenpeace people we said so. You are worth more. And he looks at you. His eye is upon you. He promised you that in the earlier chapters. But he says, they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. I belong to him. You as a Christian, you can say the same thing. It's not how you've been. It's not how many others have forgiven you. You've been forgiven by the one who counts. By the one who paid the price for all sin. You have been forgiven if you are a Christian. If you are not, all you need to do tonight is to give your heart to the Lord. Turn around and say, I want you in my life. And you will be forgiven instantly. No wait. Everybody talks about a no wait state on their internet, right? No, wait. You will be forgiven instantly. But you need to come to the Lord to be able to say, I belong to him. You need to give your life to him. Now, with nothing held back, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, verse 6, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. He says, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God. God now telling you how many gods there are. There are no other gods. And if anybody would know, it would be the one who is outside of time. Who lives, who inhabits, the Bible says, eternity. He inhabits eternity, and he's telling you, it doesn't matter what you think you're worshiping, or those people, they worship this, and those people, we all worship the same God. God says, listen, if you're not worshiping me, you're not worshiping nothing, because I am God, and there are no other gods. Our God is the one true God. Exodus chapter 20. Ten Commandments. Verses 1 through 6. The first commandment. And God spoke all these words. He spoke them out loud. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? No. You wouldn't have. Because the people that were there were so frightened and shaken up by the sound of his voice that they said, please ask him never to speak out loud to us again. Let him talk to you, and then you come and tell us what he said. We can't deal with it. And now we're all going, you dummies, why did you do that? Because all of us want to be hit with tons of bricks, don't we? We couldn't take it. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I'm the only one. There are no other gods. You may not know this, but the Egyptians had over 30 million gods. I have no idea how you would keep track of those, how you would keep from offending one of them while you were trying to please the other one. 30 million, more than 30 million. That's a lot of zeros. And they worshiped the fly, and they worshiped the frog, and they worshiped Ashtaroth, and they worshiped Baal, and they worshiped Molech, and they worshiped the god of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of the stars, the god of the palm trees, the god of the river. They worshiped the god of the streams. They worshiped the god of the flowers, the god of the toadstool. I mean, over 30 million. And God says this, beside me, I am the first and the last, and beside me there is no god. So if you're not worshiping the Lord and worshiping on him on his terms, you are not worshiping anything at all. And he says this in verse 7, and who, as I, or like me, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let them show unto them. Is there any God, he says, that can tell you the past, the present, or the future, right now, at any time? He says, no, there are none. I'm the only one that shows you that I'm God. No one can tell the future but God. No one can really tell you the past. You want to know how the earth was created? Go back to Genesis. Do not believe scientists, because they don't know. It's all theory and speculation. It doesn't work. And they continue to change the theory and change the speculation each time they get a new piece of evidence. God has it all and has told you how he did it. He says, I told you the past. I'm telling you the present. I'm telling you the future. At the end of this chapter, he's going to give us a man's name, Cyrus. And Cyrus will not come along after this chapter was written for 200 years. And he already said the man's name and what he will do. That proves to you who he is. What more do you need? Jesus rose from the dead, and he said, that's the sign you'll get. What more could you possibly want? Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is one Lord, the one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Now in Matthew 22:26, you see that reiterated. Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? That person asked Jesus. And Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. You see it in Exodus 20. You see it in Deuteronomy 6. You see it in Matthew 22. You see it in other places. But those three are so solid that you can just take those to the bank if you like. And he says, and who as I shall call and shall declare it? Set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people, who? Nobody. And the things that are coming and that shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, he says, verse 8, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, or yo, there is no God. I know not of any other God. God, your Father in heaven, is saying, I'm up here. I'm outside of time. I'm in eternity. And I'm telling you, there is no one else to pray to. You can take his word for it because he's there. There are no other gods. Although the Egyptians had 30 million, more than that. Now, God is going to explain to you what an idol really is, basically. He says, they that make a graven image, verse 9, are all of them vanity. Vanity is emptiness. And their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They don't see, they don't know, that they may be ashamed. Any idol can't see, can't know, can't tell you a thing. People use Ouija boards today. It's an idol. That's worshiping something. They try to get a hold of the dearly departed. They tell you that's idols. They're not communicating with God at all. They're dealing with demons. Sometimes they say saints are showing up in their room. Those are not saints. Those are demons. That's demon activity. Sometimes they say Mary showing up on tortillas. That's not Mary. Mary is with the Lord in heaven, but those are demons showing up on tortillas. That's why that kind of gives you heartburn like that. That is not what you're thinking it is. And that's according to the Word of God. You see, who hath formed a god or molded a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yea, yet they shall fear and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongs, he both works in the coals, fashions it with hammers, works it with the strength of his arms. And yet he is hungry and his strength fails and he drinks no water and is faint. He's making his own god, and that god's profiting. He's wearing himself out. He gets thirsty. He has to go get water. He gets worn out. His arms get tired. He has to stop for the day. What good is this god doing? He's making his own god. The carpenter stretches out his ruler. He makes it out with a line. He fits it with planes. He marks it out with a compass. He makes it up to the figure of a man. Makes little idols in the image of men. Notice God made us in his image, and now we make our gods in our image. You notice that? As foolish as we are. He makes it out after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He cuts down a cedars, takes the cypress and the oak, which he strengthens for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants an ash, and rain nourishes it, strengthens it up, makes it grow. And then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindles it and bakes bread. Yea, he makes a god and worships it. He makes a graven image and bows down before it. He burns part thereof in the fire. With part thereof he eats flesh. He roasts, and he is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself and says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the rest or the residue thereof, he makes a god out of it. Even his graven image, he falls down unto it and worships it, and he prays to it, and he asks it, please deliver me, for you are my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see, in their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considers in his heart. None considers in his heart. Good part to underline. Neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yet also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof. I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and I shall make the residue thereof an abomination. Shall I fall down? Oh, he says, and shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Everybody, verse 19, none considers in his heart. And verse 20, he feeds on ashes. A deceived heart that turned him aside. He doesn't consider in his heart. And he's deceived in his heart. He goes out and he sees this really nice looking big tree. He thinks that tree would make a great statue of one of the gods. We'll carve it into a half man, half fish. We'll make him Molech. You know, we'll cover him with some gold or some silver. We'll make him into Ashtaroth. She's a beauty, you know, with all the multi-breasted, it was weird god. We'll make him into Baal. We'll make him into one of the other gods. We'll just cut, that's a nice tree. So they felled this huge tree, and they cut it up, and they start using planes and saws and things, and they're just carving out this beautiful little god. And, you know, maybe they even make it big, 6 or 7 feet tall. But see, the tree was about 30 to 40 feet tall. What do you do with the rest of the tree? You set it on fire. Because it keeps you warm at night while you're out there in the woods. And you can cook over it, too. God says they don't even consider in their heart that the same thing they're worshiping as a god, they also ate off of it and kept warm with it. But they worship it as a god. Because, see, they're, what does verse 20 say? See, they're deceived in their hearts. An idol is anything to which a person gives themselves to instead of God himself. Anything that a person gives themselves to instead of God himself, that's an idol. Anything that comes between you and God Almighty, anything that comes between you and the true and living God, that's an idol in your life. Now you see how it's easy to have over 30 million of them. What are yours? Do you have any? What are ours? Do we have any? How about money? You know how many people fight about money? You know how many wars are started about money? Do you know how many breakups of family? Do you know how many breakups of partnership? Do you know how many lawsuits deal with money? And it has gotten between you and your God. It has become an idol, literally. How about fame? You want to be where everybody knows your name, everybody. We all want to be known. How about fortune? And all the stuff you can collect, it gets in the way. It comes between you and your God. How about sex? Seems to be very important over the last, especially 30 or 40 years in this society. Everything is sold with it. You can see candy bars sold with it. Because it's an idol. See, I could go on listing. We could come up with millions of idols that we have. And of course, we laugh when we say the Egyptians had over 30 million. You think, what a bunch of losers. I know. How about just plain pleasure? Now, if you have an SUV, this is not against you. But do you know it's the greatest, the fastest selling mobiles that there are? They're worth $1.50 and they start in the 40s. 40,000, that is. And people buy them to just drive back and forth to work in them. Pleasure. Man, come to church. We got a speaker speaking for missions. You know, I can't because we're going to be out on our boat. Well, just go an hour later. No, can't, man. Got to be on that boat. Hey, whoa. How about adult toys of any kind? Adult toys of any kind. How about a guitar? Got to have it. I saw they're selling one of Eric Clapton's guitars. Saw that in the article in the plane. They're selling. He used it, and it was worth so much. He tried to buy it back, I guess. It's worth nothing. It's just a guitar that some dude played that's going to hell. People pay hundreds of thousands. Yeah, it's got a little black thing and it's got silver sparkles in it. Our children do that every Sunday. You want a little black thing with glitter? We'll make you two. Adult toys. You know, we don't have time. The list goes on and on and on. Truth is, you got to answer the question all of us do. What has come between you and your God? How about this one that I haven't mentioned because I was waiting? How about self? I'm not going to do what God says. I have no intention of doing what God says. How many times have you had that attitude, but you would never dare say those words? Man and a wife. And neither of them thinks this marriage is going to work. I'm not doing what God says. I'm not submitting to that jerk. I'm not doing what God says. I'm not loving her like Christ. Look at her. And neither one has any intention of doing what God says. Why? Because self has gotten in between God and you. And now there's an idol. And God says, pray to your idol. See what it'll do. Will it tell you anything? Will it help you? Is it going to give you the future? Is it going to tell you the past? You're going to have nothing. It's vanity. It's wasted. It's emptiness. It's going to destroy you. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Samuel says this to Saul. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Why would stubbornness be as idolatry? What would the idol you were worshiping? If you are stubborn, or I am stubborn, or we are stubborn, who are we worshiping? Self. And that's what Saul was saying. I'm doing what God says. Man, you are not doing what God says unless you are doing what God says. Now let's ask, are you doing what God says? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It is an abomination to the Lord. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you've got an idol in your life and you are refusing to get rid of it. You have rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected you from being king, Saul. And what does Paul say? Paul himself, read through the New Testament. I do not want to run my race so that what happens is others get ahead of me and I literally get set away, set aside, set on the shelf. Has it ever happened? Yes. And does it happen? It happens regularly to people. Are the gifts and calling taken away? Never. But the truth is, Paul knew he could be set on a shelf. No, I don't think we want that. 1 John 5:21. The very last thing he says in the book of 1 John, at the very end of the letter, right before he says amen, he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now, why would he have to say that to Christians? Because we have that tendency to let something get in between us and our God. And he says, I'm God. I'm the only one. You are wasting your time with all others. You can trust me on this. I wouldn't lie. I know what I'm talking about. If you need help, you need to come straight to me, he says. I'm the one that's going to take care of you. You're not going to have a tortilla help you out. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get some channeling advice that's really going to help you out. It's going to send you more into suffering and destruction. You're not going to just set your mind to it and say, I'm not going to do what you say, God. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'll get by. No, you won't. You are headed for suffering, for destruction. You will be miserable. There's a promise. It is time to turn back to God. That's what he says here to his people. I'm the one that takes care of you. I'm the first. I'm the last. Jesus, the end of the Bible. I am the beginning and the end. I'm an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his works shall be. we read this. Remember these foolish people who allow idols, who worship over 30 million gods. Remember them, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you, thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. There is a promise also that you yourself will not be forgotten of God. Jesus later on is going to tell you, I will never leave you, never, nor forsake you. I am with you unto the end of the age. So there's a promise. He's not going to forget about you. He's not going to leave you hanging there. I was trusting. I was doing what you said and everything went wrong and I did what you want. No. Anybody who says, I'm walking with you, Lord, from this moment on, I'm with you. He's not going to ever let you down. Never. It's not going to happen. And that's what he tells you. He says, remember these others, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. In verse 22, a reminder of what Jesus has done for you and I, if you're born again. He says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions. They are gone for good. Now, how come you can't get up tomorrow and forget the transgressions of others in your lives? Why can't we, when we are told to forgive from our hearts, why can't tomorrow be, why wasn't today a brand new day for you? Why did you carry the hate, the greed, the jealousy, the bitterness? Why did you even pick that up today? When it's not yours, it's forgiven in your life, and you are going to, from your heart, forgive others. So every day is brand new. Isn't that what the Bible says? God's mercies are new every morning. What on the earth are we doing carrying hate, carrying bitterness, carrying anger toward each other and not dropping it, leaving alone, forgiving and saying, man, that was yesterday and yesterday is gone. All my sins are gone. I forgive everybody. That's what we're told in the Bible. I have blotted out as a thick cloud your transgressions and as a cloud your sins. So return to me, for I have redeemed you. I bought you. Why don't you come home, turn back around, drop it all, get rid of it, and come back to where you belong? And then he says this, praise God, everybody. Sing, O ye heavens. For the Lord hath done it. You look at the cross of Jesus Christ, and you will hear him yell. The final thing he yells on that cross is, it is finished. And that Resurrection Sunday morning song you hear by second chapter by Keith Green. It is finished. He has done it. It's done. The entire work has been done. All you have to do is rest in that. That's all. You don't have to get up and help. You don't have to volunteer to go out and try to do it again. It is done. He says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains. O forest and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord, and I that makes all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, and spreads abroad the earth by myself. That frustrates the tokens of the liars, and makes diviners mad. That turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolish. That confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. That saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Everybody, they haven't even gone into captivity into Babylon yet. And he is already promising 200 years from now, you'll come out of captivity and you will be allowed. Cyrus is going to let you rebuild and start on the foundation of the temple. 200 years before Cyrus even comes on the scene. Now that's a pretty big promise, isn't it? They haven't even gone into captivity, and he's already telling them he's going to bring them out, and if their city will be destroyed, he's going to have it rebuilt for them. Because, see, he is God. He can do that. That's the God we serve. Well, let's change the language. That's the God, the only God that we should be serving. Now, each one of us has to deal with it in our own heart. Are we serving the Lord our God? We are not obeying if, write this down, if we are not obeying. And you say, I don't know much about the Bible, but are you doing, by His strength, the parts that you know? Is there room for improvement in your life? Don't answer that. Just pray about it. Are you really walking with the power of the Holy Spirit upon you? Is it time to return, to turn back to God as He says? Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for Thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression and as a cloud thy sins. Return to me. Is it time tonight, as we're going to praise just for a bit, and we're going to do something a little different, as it's time tonight to praise, is it time for you and me to return back to where we started? To return to our first love, to come back to where we belong. Is it time? And to drop the petty foolishness. And to get rid of these idols that are literally wasting your life away. They are vanity. They are destroying you. They are slowly fooling you into destruction. So that you could literally be set aside. You could literally get to heaven and smell like smoke when you get there. Saved, but so as by fire. Now that includes me, who have been a Christian for a few years, who's, I've studied my Bible a few times, and it includes you. Every one of you, there is nobody here who is exempt. Yes, you are, still have to deal with the issue of, do I need to return back to the Lord? Oh, I know she does. I've been married to her. I know he does. Man, I raised him. I know them. Boy, those, they need to do some big stuff. No, no, no. Do you yourself need to turn back and get a fresh start? Are you walking in the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? Do you need to forgive? Do you need to forget yesterday and everything behind it? Do you? God says, you turn to me. He says, I'm the God you need to deal with. I'm the one. I'm out here. There are no others. You need to get serious and come to me. A couple of the guys mentioned this at the pastor's conference. And boy, it just, I don't normally do these kind of things, but this really struck me. And I thought, you know, that's something that I ought to have us do every once in a while. So we're going to, as the praise band comes up here, and we're going to praise. But what we'd like you to do is don't, you can stand up or you can do it sitting down, and don't get in groups of more than about six. That seemed to work well. And we're going to praise quietly while you guys pray with one another. And it doesn't matter what about. Someone may say, pray for me. I got a job interview. Someone may say, my health is no good. Would you pray for me? Someone may say, I'm praying about moving to Oklahoma or Texas. Whatever the prayer. Just, and you don't need to do it long. Just pray briefly. But you need to pray with one another. And nobody's going to hear you except for the few that are praying right with you. You can turn around in your chairs. You can stand up. You can stand in the aisle. You can do whatever you want. And then, of course, then we'll continue to praise. It won't take you long. We won't go very long at all. You just pray a bit together. Come on, praise band. Quit holding back. Let's get up here.